Book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. To whom shall I speak? And the Lord spoke these words. He said, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. To whom shall I speak? Well, first off, as we said, the speaker. It's the Lord. You can imagine the frustration of preaching. It'd be only a man. But this is the Lord speaking. Who shall I speak? The Lord himself says they won't hear. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:1, he said, who hath believed our report? Even ask, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, if you're there in Jeremiah 6, turn to Jeremiah 7 and look at verse 27 and 28. And he's speaking once again. He's speaking of the Israelites. He said, therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. It's pretty incredible statements. It reminds me a lot of today. I've preached for years at the church. It's not for the lost, so-called lost people. And when I speak of lost, I'm not talking about those that are elect to be yet converted, but I'm talking about those that are of perdition, that are eternally lost, you see. And if you consider sin, the prospect of sin, sin is for the lost, is for the non-elect. That's what sin has to do with, the lost or the non-elect. How can it pertain to the redeemed? If he says, in thy sins iniquities will I remember no more. It's amazing to me that all the sin talk is always to the redeemed, when sin talk is really for sinners, you see. Sin is for the lost. And I speak to the non-elect. And how sad it is to me for folks that are religious but lost. Those that go to church, they're very religious. We've got whole denomination. We've got the Amish, Catholicism, Mormonism, all of these things, and they live these so-called clean lives and go to church all their life, and they're very religious, and then they die and go to hell. To me, that would be much worse than being a gross sinner. In other words, get your money's worth, you see. It may sound harsh or counterintuitive, but heaven or hell, either way, be what you are, get your money's worth. And of course, that really can't be to the non-elect, because as God says, they're blind. They won't hear anyway. Jesus said the same thing. And it's been so ever since Adam, since the beginning. The serpent, he said, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You're going to be like God. And there's some great verses, even in the very beginning of Genesis. If you'll turn back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. And this pertains to the elect, those that are chosen by God. In verse Genesis 4:26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Do you see that? And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. Until that time, they didn't call upon the name of the Lord. And then if you look at in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. A son after his image. Now, you've heard me preach many times concerning Cain and Abel, and I won't go there today. And then if you'll see also Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In our image, in God's likeness. There are, the point of this, there are those, the elect, that are made in God's image, in his likeness. And then there are the non-elect. There's wheat, there's tares. And I don't know how to put it any simpler than that. God didn't make it any simpler than that. That's the way it is. And these weren't fallen creatures, because they didn't kill to eat. And they had dominion over the animals. And you can see that in Genesis. He said every herb of the field and fowls was food for man and even for the animals. And he said that man had dominion over the animals. The animals, they weren't wild and they weren't harmful for man, okay? An interesting note here is that this ensues. I was telling Melissa about this week, some verses I was pondering on. Right after the earth was without form and void. And the interesting thing about that to me is that's not the only mention of such in Scripture. If you turn back to the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 4, in verse 23, I beheld the earth. Now we're in the book of Jeremiah, we're not in Genesis. And lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Well, you might say it on the surface or at first glance. Well, he's talking about back in Genesis, without form and void and darkness. But I've spoken much on this in years past, because I was such. I've used it as a personal testimony or as a type of a lost child of God. Prior to conversion, that's the condition that persisted. I was without form and void. I was in darkness, you see. A man prior to conversion. The Lord even called him Peter. You remember he called him Satan. That's after he'd gone and preached. I believe we are now, at this hour, in such a time and in such a state in this world. Are we not without form and void? Spiritually, we absolutely are. No light. And for me, this explains much. Now, I could go over countless examples, but you already know of such. There's darkness all around us. We're in a time, really, I don't think you could say now that men are in God's likeness. How many do you know such? Nor in his image. And I see no light. I'm not speaking religiously. But I see no light at this hour. And I know the difference because I've lived in a time when there was light. And now this light's gone. It's not the same. You used to be able to speak of the things of God, and men would actually listen. There was a time when men would listen. Not here in our text, but there was a time in this book when men did listen. There were times when they would listen, when they would not. Times of light, times of darkness. And God looked and said, now it's without form and void, you see. And God says, to whom shall I speak? I can't tell you that's exactly the way I feel. I've been preaching the word for 35 years. And at this hour, not in other times, but at this hour, to whom shall I speak? I see throughout history the cycles of light and darkness. We even had a period called, what did they call it? The Dark Ages, that's right. And now, you might say today we do have a light, but it's an angel's light. And he has, just listen to him, ministers of righteousness, you see. I was going to read A.W. Pink's Another Gospel. I used to hand it out. I recommend that you look it up and read Another Gospel. The Gospel of Satan. You know, it promotes brotherhood and love. And all the while, and if you're in Christ and you know truth and you have light, all the while you can see now without form and void and darkness. As far as I know, the elect of God throughout history, from what I've read and studied, sometimes they're above ground in the light. We have a history of Christians going below ground into darkness. A brother in the Lord who's gone on before me, we used to sit and speak of this. There's a time to be up. And there's a time to proclaim the gospel. But not at every moment, you see, there's a time. Or as they say, you make hay while the sun's shining. And so for the sake of argument, I'd say these seem to me throughout history to be 400-year periods. You might use the word dispensation, but 400-year periods of history, eras. A few examples, the children of Israel, how long were they in bondage? They were in bondage 400 years, you see. The period between the Old and New Testament, 400 years. How long have we had the King James Bible? Just over 400. And it worked pretty well until a few years ago. You might say about the time Obama came along. And now, once again, darkness. And that explains a lot to me. I've lived longer than you guys. It explains a lot to me because I lived in a period that y'all didn't live in, and it was different. And then in the 60s, things started to change. 70s, 80s, 90s. But the 50s were almost an innocent time. There was an innocence. That was the time we didn't lock our doors. And you could ride your bicycle all over town. We walked to school a long way. Quite seemed a long way. It probably wasn't. You know, barefoot, backwards, uphill in the snow, against the wind. And there was never any fear. And on Saturday, after school, they'd let us outside, and we had free rein. And we didn't live out in the country. I lived in a neighborhood. Want to try that today, you see? For the sake of history, the Roman Empire ruled England 400 years. That was about the length, really, of the power of the Roman Empire. I really enjoy numerology. I believe God created math, so to speak. So you have 400, you start taking the roots of 400, you have 40. We see the significance of 40. I mean, there's 40 days, 40 nights, and 40 years, and a generation. And then you take the root of that into 4, the number 4. In Exodus chapter 4 is where Moses was called. And then Cain and Abel, Genesis 4, and there we know that in Eden that there was a river with 4 heads. 4. And I think that everything in the Bible, I think numbers are extreme, and I think they're extremely important. And we know almost everything had 4 sides. Ezekiel's vision, you remember, had 4 sides, and then the holy city, the celestial city in Revelation, 4. You see. There's a gospel called the Four Square Gospel. I met some of those people up in North Carolina. It's called the Four Square Gospel. And what did God do on the fourth day? Do you know? Do you remember? He separated the light from the darkness. You see? Turn to back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw it was good. Light from the darkness. And it is such until this day. And I'm not saying that all this is thus saith the Lord. But I'm saying that it's some of my gleanings from the Word of God. And it explains a lot to me. Maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, or it might be gibberish to you, but it's not to me. You've heard me say many times that the trouble with God's people is they don't know what time it is. He's got times to laugh, and he's got times to cry. We won't go there now. And he's got times to go into battle, and he's got times for peace, and he's got a time to kill, and he's got a time to live, and he's got a time to love, and he's got a time to hate. And he's got a time of light, and he's got a time of darkness. But he separated that thing. And we've got that light here now. And not knowing the time can cost you your life. It almost cost me mine on January 16th, 1999. I didn't know what time it was. It did cost Uzziah his life. You remember? He had not right to touch the ark of God. When I think about that thing with Uzziah, attempting to help God. Man, how I've been involved in some of these things. The modern church attempting to help God. Poor God. Old so-and-so won't get saved if old so-and-so doesn't go out and preach. He'll go to hell if we don't have a bus ministry, or we don't have a Sunday school, or we don't have a Baptist church. Altar calls, bus routes, soul winning. And I've been involved in all those things. And when I first started out, you see, helping God save people. And oh, don't forget, we've preached on the last few weeks the great, so-called Great Commission. And then we read, God says, to whom shall I speak? To whom shall I speak? And give warning. Well, the answer? No one, unless directed by God. And I can't emphasize how important that is. Philip didn't attend to the Ethiopian eunuch until God directed it. Ananias didn't go to Saul, who became Paul, until God directed it. Nor Peter to Cornelius, and so many of the other examples, you see. It's almost like they didn't cast their pearls before swine. And I know, listen, I know exactly when this occurs, and I know when I've crossed the line. And I know when the door's open, and I know when the door's closed, because I've done it for a long, long time. And I ask today, do you? Do you know when to speak and when not to speak? And I'm talking to the things of God. God himself said, to whom shall I speak? To he whom God directs, you see. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Well, the modern evangelist, well, to everybody. Oh, we've got to do that to everybody today. That they may hear. Behold, the ears are uncircumcised. They're not going to hear you. Jesus said, I'm speaking in parables, so they won't hear me. And they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them, what? A reproach. Have you ever found that out? Boy, I have. You ever tried to witness somebody? Maybe a loved one. And it's just a reproach. And they have, listen, they have no delight in it. You see that? Who do you know that has delight in this word? Like, hopefully you do. And I'm talking about people you love. I'm talking about family, friends, acquaintances. Who do you know that really delights in the Word of God? you see. To whom shall I speak? To he whom God directs. What few I know exhibit but a religious exercise. They certainly aren't converted, nor delight in the word of God. And of course, we're all familiar with Jeremiah 6:16 in this chapter. Seek ye the old paths. You know, when he speaks of the old paths, he's talking about this book. These examples. We're preaching one of them now. To whom shall I speak? There's a man that I speak to at least once a week. He's one of the few men that he calls, and he's concerned about the things of God. Appears to be. And he's always asking doctrinal questions. And I discovered this week that he's never read the Bible. And I've been discussing the Bible with this man for years. I said, well, I used to have a hard, fast rule. If you hadn't read the Bible, I won't even discuss it with you. Why would I want to discuss the Bible with a man that's never read it, never taken the time to read it, you see? But he's a very adept in the doctrines that he espouses. And that's really what happens in religion. They get one piece of this book, and they wear that thing out. And then you if you've read the book, you go back and say, well, what about over here? Oh, well, that doesn't apply, you see. Well, it can't apply to you because you haven't even read it, you see. You give me a verse or a chapter in this book, I can start a religion. But you give me the whole book, and I can have God. Amen. You give me the whole book, and I have God. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, you only want part of God. To whom shall I speak? To God's people. Church has never been for lost men. Is there anything for the child of God at the whorehouse? No. Or any other bad place? No. What would be there for him? Well, if I asked, what would be in the house of God for the sinner? Sorry, we don't sin here, so to speak, you see. To whom shall I speak? To God's people. To whom God directs. Or else, I just exercise religion. This may seem a trite word to you or not very important, but after preaching 35 years, I can't tell you how important this is to me. Because I still know people out there so-called carrying out a great commission and running bus routes and Sunday school and trying to evangelize the world. Like I asked those men one time when they got back from spring break, went down to South Padre Island. What a wonderful, you've heard me say, what a wonderful time to go evangelize. And I said, what'd you learn, brother? He said, I learned not to cast my pearls before swine. Amen, brother. Amen.